Thank you, high school choir. We're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy tonight. I recognize what time it is, and I also know there's a fellowship. And so I'm going to try to make my message as brief and simple as possible this evening. I'm going to shoot for 20 minutes to make everybody happy. So be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I am the Bible teacher at our Lighthouse Christian School, but I'm also the youth pastor, and we have a youth group because we have youth people in our church family. And our theme verse is 1 Timothy 4:12. And so we're going to be there. We're going to read the passage around it, and I want to apply some of these principles to our graduates and to all of us here this evening before we are dismissed. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 12, and we're going to read down to verse number 16. 1 Timothy 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." I am not quite 30, so I am a youth as well. And so I have to ask myself these questions also, living as a youth. How do you live in a world where there's this battle between young people and old people? Most of the world has operated for most of history upon the assumption that if you are old, you are automatically wise, and you're automatically smarter, more equipped to rule and to govern and to make decisions. And so most of our world has operated on that principle. Until recent times where we have praised youth for the sake of youth. And the young people said, no, to be old doesn't mean you're smart. And so we have new ideas. To be young was to be fresh. And so the youth in our day and age have won the battle, much to the loss of society. Because it is true that to be young does not automatically mean that you are foolish. But it does mean that you are more likely to be foolish. To be old does not automatically mean that you are wise, but you are more likely to be. And that is why most of history and most of cultures have recognized that to be old was a badge of honor, not a mark against you. It's funny that in our society today, every time we have an election coming up, if somebody is old, they always tend to bring that up as a mark against them, as if they have more years of experience, they must be less equipped to do the job. And people are getting younger and younger to be elected because they have fresh and new ideas. And our world is suffering for the lack of wisdom and for the excess of foolishness. And so we end up going back in a circle. And Christians begin to recognize that to be young is to be foolish. In fact, throughout the Bible, youth is often compared to, especially through the book of Proverbs, simplicity. To be young is to be simple because you don't know enough stuff to live life. Age is often compared to wisdom, because to be older means you've been around longer, which means you're more likely to have a better idea about the way things go. So how do you live as a youth then? The Bible tells us not to despise it. That doesn't necessarily mean that we praise youth for the sake of being young, which is what our world has done with it. Neither does it mean that it's a mark against us automatically. He says, don't despise your youth, but, and then he tells you how to live as a young person. And these are principles I tried to apply in my own life because as I've been in ministry here, starting in my early 20s, now still not quite 30, you cannot escape, no matter what you do, the fact that you are young and you haven't been around for very long. I sit in deacons' meetings where I am significantly the youngest person and still make fun of everybody else in the room for it. And they have conversations about things that I know absolutely nothing about because I've not been around long enough to actually know what's going on. We'll talk about business, talk about things that broke in the building, and then let's say, what should we do? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I haven't been around for long enough. And that's just the case. Things come with age. See, Paul, he's writing to a young man. Paul's an old man when he writes the book of 1 Timothy. This is one of the last books that he writes. He has already completed most of his missionary journeys. He has already planted many churches. He is one of the most respected Christian leaders in all of the world, and he has definitely earned that title, so to speak. He has a young protege, Timothy, who has been traveling with him as an apprentice, but not as a leader. And Timothy is probably at this point still 30 or 40, but living in the East and living 2,000 years ago, to only be 30 or 40 means that you really are not old enough to lead people spiritually. There is a reason why the leaders of the church throughout the New Testament are called elders, because there is an assumption that you had to have age and you had to have an experience before you could lead somebody else. And here Paul has placed this comparatively young man in a position of important leadership over people who are older than him, more likely than not. And he says, Timothy, you can't do anything about how old you are, but you can take the gift of the opportunities that you've been given and use them well. And that is my challenge for Tori tonight. You're younger than most of our graduates as well. And you cannot do anything about how old you are, but you can use the opportunities that you are given and you can use them well. And here he tells us several things to do with our youth. He tells us not to despise it. The word despise doesn't mean to hate. It means to think light of. To think light of ourselves simply because we are young, or to look at the world around us and think the same way. And he gives us several different ways to live our life as a youth without despising it. And all these principles can, of course, apply to every one of us as well. I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, be an example. Being young is not a badge of honor by any means, because more likely you have less things together than the people around you do. But that does not mean that you are exempt from being an example. Of what? He says, be thou an example of the believers. This world and the church are often looking for what it really means to be like Christ. This world is told that Jesus is the answer. Christianity says that Jesus is the answer. And we're told to walk in his steps. But often, it becomes very abstract. We don't even know what to do with that. What does that look like? And what he tells Timothy to do is you're going to be young. In order to not despise that, in order to not make that a mark against you, then you need to grow spiritually so that people can look at your life and say, that's what Christ would do. People need an example. If we don't understand something, we need an example. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know what a hurdy-gurdy is? You two. I knew you were the only two. Is it an animal? Is it a piece of equipment that you use on the farm? No, it is an instrument. Hurdy-gurdy is an instrument where there's a wheel that you spin and it rubs against strings and you have buttons that you change. You can be played with two different people. And I'm saying this and you're all really trying to figure out what in the world that even looks like. You know what would have been helpful? If I brought a hurdy-gurdy. So this is what it is and gave you an example. Things that are hard to wrap our minds around, we need examples for. And that's why he tells spiritual leaders their lives to serve as an example of what a Christian is supposed to be. Having no experience is not a badge of honor. But that does not mean we cannot act like Christ and still serve as an example of what Jesus would do. And he gives a lot of different areas. This is a really easy passage to outline. Be an example how? In word. Is my speech a good example of how Christ would speak? Colossians 4 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. There is so much in that verse. Part of it says that we need to be gracious in our speech. It's very easy to be abrasive, to be curt in the way that we talk to people. Often, young people don't know how to speak with grace because they are insecure, and the only way to take care of that is to be aggressive. But he says that we can be filled with grace, seasoned with salt, meaning that what we say has substance that is actually contributing to what is being talked about, and that we might know how to answer every man. He says, it is possible for us to have responses to the questions of life in the speech that we have. And as a young person, you cannot know everything tomorrow. You cannot add 50 years of experience today just because we decided to. You can't add enough education. Time itself takes that. But I can learn to speak well with the opportunities that I have. Be an example in word. He goes on. Be an example in your lifestyle. In word, in conversation. The word conversation means the way that you conduct yourself. Where you go, what defines you, who you hang out with, what you do, how you carry yourself, how you dress. Only let your conversation, Philippians 1 says, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You don't have to be old to carry yourself like Christ would. You don't have to know a lot of things yet in order to live your life the way that Jesus would in the situation that you have been put. Jesus had to walk every stage of life. Jesus was a child, which means there's a way to act like Jesus when you're a child. Jesus was a teenager, which means there's a way to act like Jesus when you're a teenager. Jesus was a young adult who was in his 20s, who was not a spiritual leader because he had not started his ministry until he was 30. And he lived and he worked in his dad's workshop and in the community. And there is a way to act like Jesus in that situation, in your conversation, in your love. He says in word, in conversation, in charity. We can love people the way that Jesus did, no matter how old we are. Sometimes it's the older crowd who has a harder time loving because they found more things in the world that they dislike. And it causes them to be very upset and angry at the world around them. However, it's very easy for young people to be very upset about being pushed down or not having enough opportunity or whatever. There's always a way that your situation feeds anger and bitterness instead of love and giving towards the people around you. You don't have to be old to love selflessly. The Bible says in John chapter 13 that all the world will know that you are his disciples if you have love one for another. So you can be an example of how Christ would love in the situation in which you have been put. In your closeness to the Spirit, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. You can yield to the Holy Spirit in the situation in which you have been put. Galatians 5 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If we have been given new life in the Holy Spirit, we are a saved person, then we can live life in the steps beyond that in the same way in His power. We often talk about how young people can be saved. When they are 5, when they are 6, if they understand the gospel in a simplistic way. And that is true. Which means that at that same age, they can walk in the Spirit. And they can yield to the Holy Spirit. And in the little that they know, and in the meager situations that they are in grade school and in high school and then in college, that means they can implement the Holy Spirit's power into their life as they yield to Him. In your faith, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. Faith is an action which is based on a promise or command of God. You will not know everything in God's word, but you can obey by faith the things that you know. And obviously, you should know everything because I taught it to you in class. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Romans 14 tells us that even in those areas of difficulty, if we do what we do out of trust that God is right and out of belief that we are to please him, whatsoever is not of faith, he says, is sin. We can be an example of trust. Sometimes I see that young people have the most simplistic trust, that the older we get, the harder we have a time to implement, because the more we trust ourselves. Let the young people be an example of how to trust that God is right and that God is enough, because we are not. And in purity. Be an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The word purity means unmixed. You can have pure honey, or you can have a pure metal, that it has less of the dirt and less of the impurities mixed inside of it. A young person can, believe it or not, be an example of not being mixed up with the world. The sad thing is, there are some of these that are easier for a young person and some of them that are harder. And for most of the time, young people who are so ingrained into the world with social media and with technology, making the world always around us and in our ears every day, it is difficult for the young person to be an example of that. But it does not mean that they can't. James chapter 4 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God is saying, if you want to not spend your life just wishing that you had the rapport of age, just wishing you had the experience of years that you don't have, rather than despising the place where you are in life, take what you have been given and be an example in the Christian life where you are. Be an example. Number two. How not to despise your youth. Act on what is timeless. Act on what is timeless. Look at verse number 13. Till I come, Paul says to Timothy, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, it's a really easy verse to preach, and I'm going to preach it the way that's easier in just a second. But what he's telling Timothy to do is, as a pastor, he pastors a church. This young guy who's talking to older people that obviously have more experience, obviously know more things than Timothy does, he's going to lead them. So Timothy says, what do I do? Paul says, stick with what actually has authority. Read, exhort, and give doctrine. What he's talking about with the reading, he says, give attendance to reading. The word attendance means that we should draw near to, devote our thought to, devote our effort to. Timothy, there's all kinds of things you can do in your church, but what you should be spending time in is God's word. Timothy, you don't have the authority of the ages to stand up and tell people how to live life and what's right and what's wrong when they're going to go out into their business places and to do this or that. But if you read God's word and you give it, and you exhort people in the truth that we learned, and you center your ministry around doctrine that comes from truth, that would be worth your time. The thing is, Tori, you're not going to be a pastor, right? Okay. Thought I would check. However, you can live and operate in things that are timeless. The reason why young people are considered to be less wise is because they often act in their own wisdom, and our wisdom is foolish. The problem is, a lot of older people are doing the same thing as well, though. We're not living in the wisdom of today, we're living in the wisdom that was dated to 50 years ago. But that's not timeless wisdom. And no matter what your age is, whether you are 80 or you are 18, we would do well to attend ourselves, to speak and to draw attention to and to operate in the truth of God's word, because that does not come and go with the climate of the society around us. And as society changes and the younger people come up in the society that they're in, and they become a product of it, as many of the people in the generation that you have are a product of your own generation and its own version of faulty thinking and temporary wisdom. We would all do well to attend to reading his word and to exhort one another in love and good works, Hebrews 10 tells us to do. And you can do that because it doesn't matter how old you are, we have timeless wisdom in our hands and we can live and we can speak and we can operate on what is timeless, which means our youth doesn't play into it. If we're not thinking about what we can discover, but what God has already discovered for us and has given to us. I'll give you three more, and we'll be done. How do you not despise your youth? Be an example. Be an example of how Jesus would live where you are. Focus on what is timeless. Number three, develop your gift. Develop your gift. Look at verse number 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Paul is talking to Timothy about two different things. Prophecy is one of the gifts that they were given. We can go back to Romans chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but he labels a lot of gifts that God gives to his children. Prophets, who are speakers of truth. Teachers, who teach and outline and give and communicate the intricacies of that truth. Givers, people who understand resources, mercy, people who are able to extend compassion and nurture in the ways that others cannot. Exhorters, people who can see potential in people. The list goes on, but the fact is he says that God has given us a gift and a place in God's kingdom. And when we see our gifts, we end up seeing two things, by the way. We see our strengths that God has given to us, by the way, they are gifts that God has given to us, and we see our weaknesses. We should attend to both. Our weaknesses are not our strengths, because I've seen a lot of people say that about prophecy. Prophets tend to see black and white, and so they relinquish themselves the responsibility of being nice to people and cut everybody off at the knees, because that's who I am. No, God gives you strengths, and there's attending weaknesses. So pay attention to your weaknesses, but also pay attention to the strengths that God's given to you. Because if the Bible is true, and it is, God gives gifts not for our benefit, but for the benefit of those around us. And he does not want us to take our strength and then just hold on to it as a talent that we bury in the ground, but he wants us to take our gift and develop it. So whatever God has gifted you, he's gifted you to steward, not for your own sake, but for the sake of others and for the sake of the church, which means it is not yours to bury in the ground. It is yours to develop. So he says, do not neglect the gift that is given you by prophecy. But he also says this, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Presbytery is the elders of the church. They had laid their hands on Timothy. They had ordained him to be the pastor of the church. And so God had gifted Timothy to be the pastor of the church, but he also had gifted him with the position of being the pastor of the church. And so that reminds us of two things. That God has gifted us with talents and abilities for a purpose that need to be developed. And whatever that is, Tori, which you're going for music, develop it the best that you can. But also God's going to give you positions with it. He's going to have you fill roles that are associated with the things he has you do in the kingdom. And he says, own them. You can't be 75 and have already filled 10 positions in your life and positions of leadership in various businesses. You're not there. But when God gives you a position and God gives you a responsibility and God gives you an opportunity, own it and do the best that you can in God's power with the place that he has given to you. Because that's all that you can do. You can't have been 75, but you can use well what you have been given today. Develop yourself. Then he says, to apply yourself. Look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Timothy was a pastor. And he just told him a couple verses ago to stand up, own his position, preach, read Scripture, exhort people in Scripture, give truth. But it's easy to be the leader without developing yourself. And he says, that's not how it works. He says, give yourself to those things as well. If you want to be an example to the people around you, if you want people not to despise your youth, then people should look at your life and they should see you developing in the same things that you say that you claim to live by. So what are all those things? The same things we said from 2 points ago. Scripture and reading. Learn. Learn the best that you can. Take every opportunity to learn God's word. Learn from the people that God puts into your life, which is not me anymore, because you're leaving the end of this week. And so God's going to give you new people that you don't even know their name, you don't know their face, you don't know their influence, but he's going to give them to you. Learn from them so that other people might look at your life and they see you develop. In reading and exhortation, as we exhort others to walk in truth, allow yourself to be exhorted to walk in truth. College and school and times of youth are often times of rebuke and exhortation, criticism of how you can develop and change and grow. The older you get, the more confident you become, the harder it becomes to receive criticism and rebuke and exhortation. But to be challenged is always a good thing so that we develop. Give yourself to those, to exhortation and to doctrine. You know truth. Young people have a proclivity of questioning truth, finding holes in people who are old and the things that they say. But do you know the things that you stand on? Could you give a defense of what you believe? Can you stand on why God exists? And did Jesus rise from the dead? And is God, and is the Bible his word? And what do I believe about Scripture? And what do I believe about the church? And what do I believe about my place in Christ? What do I believe about the gospel? He says, you give yourself to doctrine so that others might see you profiting and wish to follow in those same steps. Apply yourself. Those things that are timeless that you operate in, you must give yourself to them as well. Because to neglect them is to fall right into the trap of the youth of the world around us and living and operating on our wisdom, which is destined to fail. And lastly, watch yourself. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. After he tells him to give himself to these things, he tells him to take heed to himself, to watch and be vigilant about the ease it takes to go off of the road. When you're in college, there's going to be times of busyness where what's more important is getting your project done than having a relationship with Christ. There's going to be times where what's most important is to make sure that you go to the event with the thing and the people that you have instead of making sure that you have a relationship with Christ. And even in the middle of a Bible college, it's easy for us to get off of the road and just be so focused on stuff. And so it is for adults, is it not? As life comes and as work comes and as things happen and you have family and you have kids, we don't take heed to ourself. We don't take heed to truth and implementing it into our life. We don't listen to truth. We don't allow ourselves to be rebuked by truth. I quoted this in my Sunday school lesson a couple weeks ago. The King James translator said, if we are going to be sons of the truth, then we must consider what it speaketh and trample upon our own credit. Yea, and other men's also, if either be a hindrance to it. We must be followers of the truth. We must be followers of God's word, and then we will save ourselves. And even though we are young, those around us, and them that hear thee. So he says, 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let me finish by going back to verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth. It's a weird construction, actually, the very first part of the verse. It's really easy to read that. Don't let anybody, as in, don't allow somebody to despise your youth. Before we even read everything else, how do you even do that? Somebody thinks light of you because you are young. What do you do? Tell them to stop it? I'm a big boy. That's not that the kid who says that in elementary school never gains the response. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. That's not how it works. Do I not allow them to? What does that mean? Greek has weird constructions that English doesn't have. And in this is an imperative for third person. Imperatives are always second person in English. You do this. This imperative is for other people who aren't there, which is an odd thing. It's obvious that Paul's not talking to the other people that aren't there because they're not here for him to talk to them. Also, he's talking to Timothy about what he's to do so that other people respond that way. Here's the point. It was not Timothy's job to tell other people to respect him in spite of the fact that he was young, because you can't do that. There are going to be people who think light of you because you are young, and there's no way around that. But the way that I can cause that opinion to change, the way that I can cause my influence to be used well in the spot that I'm put, is to be an example. So that the people who aren't there will see us and follow in his steps. So be an example. Apply in your life what is timeless as you work with other people and as you continue to develop yourself. Develop your gifts. God's given you a gift. God gave you time to develop it. Use it for his glory. And pay attention to the pitfalls along the way. Take heed to yourself so that, in spite of the fact that you're young and in spite of the fact that you can't just add years of experience to your life, you can be like Christ and be an example of the believer. And that's how we can live in the future. And so it is for all of us. We cannot know things that we don't know. We cannot be versed in things that we're not versed on. We cannot be equipped to face every challenge of life. We cannot understand how to face every obstacle along the way with our family, with our work, and with our finances. We never will be. But we can implement into our lives the timeless wisdom that God has given to us with what we know and let God work his power through us, so we can point other people to him.